Soarin' to tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Welcome to A Spoonful of Podcast, where we dive into the magic of Disney destinations, searching for a great big beautiful tomorrow. Broadcasting from the backside of water.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 184 of A Spoonful of Podcast. I'm your host, Evan Dickens, here with my co-host, Brian Galloway. Brian, how are you doing, sir?
I am doing great, Evan. I just got back from the trip, was in Maryland, and just got home in time to record. And I'm very excited today because we are here with our West Coast reporter, Christy Collins, back to give us some updates on Disneyland. How are you, Christy?
I'm doing great.
I'm so glad you're here. Yes, I'm so glad you're here. And I have to say, I want to do one a semi shout out to our mutual friend Chris Pappas, who has been getting on my case at work for me complaining about how people use instead of spelling out Q-U-E-U-E, they do it Q-U-E, and I said that was one of my pet peeves. So in our messages now at work, she's been adding in like, hey, I've been waiting too long in the queue, Q-U-E, for the help desk. It's really annoying me. And things like that. She's saying this to rub it in on me at work. So I have to say, this is the first time that the podcast has spilled over to my work, but it is pretty hilarious.
Interesting. If that's the most work drama that you got, then that's good.
Oh yeah, no, it's funny, but she's been getting on my case, but it was funny though. So Christy, one of the cool things is that you get to go to Disneyland a lot more often than most people because you live so close. And so how many times have you gone in the last like maybe month and a half?
I have gone 6 times. I think that's a record in that short of a span of time for me.
Wow,
that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. So we want to hear all about it. We want to hear about, you know, things that you did new. I know there was a festival there was a food and wine or something.
The food and wine is still going on right now. And there was the Lunar New Year festival as well. I didn't get to try any food or anything from that, but I did see the parade.
Wait, Lunar New Year festival?
Yeah. Yep. So they do it every year. In my opinion, it's almost like a mini food and wine festival. They'll have some traditional food items they'll have, and then they do like a cavalcade that features Mulan and Mushu and tells kind of that story. It's pretty cool. I think it lasts maybe two weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. Unfortunately, I didn't get to try any of the foods this year from it, but I did see the cavalcade.
So I want to throw this out here too, just so everybody knows. So the last time you were on, Christy, was in September of last year, episode 155. A lot has changed. It's not a lot has changed necessarily, or there's been a lot of updates and that kind of stuff. So yeah, kind of like where Brian was tracking with this, some observations or new stuff or things that you've experienced over the last few visits, if it's highlights, you know, how we do trip reports on this podcast, we don't typically take it day by day, event by event, but we like to look at highlights, stuff that we can comment on. Maybe Brian and I have some questions about some stuff too. So, you know, any kind of topics we want to jump to or jump around about.
Well, I have one I want to have her start with now. So she was telling me, so what is the pass that you got for, you had some friends to get this pass. Can you explain us that SoCal pass, I think it's called.
Yeah, so typically during this time of the year when it's slower at Disneyland, they'll offer a SoCal pass. I think you can do a 2 or 3 day pass, and it's at a discounted price. So if you go, you buy it, you can go 3 times. It used to be you had to, when you would use the first day you'd have to go back within, I think, a 2-week period, or you'd lose those days. Now they've changed it to where you have a couple months to use it. So I actually, I have some friends that we go, they buy that pass every year. And so I go with them. Yeah, but it just kind of offers an alternative for people that don't want to spend that $200 to go for one day. You're kind of spending, I think it's like $300. Don't quote me on the price, but for those 3 days.
So for 3 days, that's a pretty good value.
And I think it goes up in price, obviously, if you want to upgrade it to a park hopper. But yeah, it's definitely, it's a good value, and it gets people to the park when it's the slow time of the year.
That's very interesting.
So, you know, that's interesting too. I want to throw this out there since you mentioned it. And obviously, Walt Disney World and Disneyland use supply and demand ticket pricing. They know what's in their funnel. You know, they know past history of guest attendance, even gate prices. We were at Epcot this last Saturday. The gate price was $174 for the day, which is crazy. But they just came out actually earlier this month, actually just a couple weeks ago, with a springtime special for Florida residents. They're doing a 4-day ticket, Brian, $59 a day. So it's $235 total for 4 days. So that's a steal for a Florida resident. So that's good that Disneyland does the same kind of stuff too for residents. And you don't typically see that a lot. So that's good that they're doing it.
Yeah, no, it's a great deal, you know, and especially my friends that went, they've got 2 kids as well. So, I mean, to buy a 1-day park hopper pass, that's, you know, upwards of, you're getting up to $1,000. So to be able to go 3 days and take your kids as well, it's a lot better.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's really cool. I am glad that they're listening. You know, like, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, last year at this time we were complaining because maybe Disney's not listening to the people, things are growing out of hand. And now, you know, we always said, are things ever going to get back to normal? But no, but, you know, maybe they're getting close to normal, and maybe that's all we're going to ever see. But that kind of stuff is good. So I'm so glad to hear that.
Okay. So Brian got one question. I want to get one.
Go ahead.
So I love when you see stuff on social media and you're like, I wonder if this is true. And so it's really good that we're talking to you, Christy, because I then, when I saw on social media, I'm like, okay, wait, Christy's coming on tonight. This is a perfect opportunity. So someone posted in the Walt Disney World annual pass holders page, which is a circus on Facebook, by the way. But anyways, they posted a post about the headache it is to get into Disneyland as far as parking your car in the garage, getting out, making the trek, going through security because it's different than Walt Disney World, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, Brian, of course, you've been. I've never been. We are a very heavy-leaning Walt Disney World podcast. So explain that. Like, I know this is something logistical that us, you know, nerds like to talk about and think about, but how is it to get into the park from parking as you arrive, especially since you're local, so you drive?
In my opinion, it's not that bad, but maybe that's because I go so much, so I'm just used to it. But I mean, it definitely can take a long time to get into the parking lot, depending, you know, the day or the time you're going. I took my friend's son a couple weeks ago on a Saturday, and we got off the freeway and immediately, like, we're in a line, like, probably had to wait 35 minutes to even get to the gate to scan to get in for parking. But then once you park, it's easy from there. You know, you just kind of go down an escalator. And I will say, you guys have it dialed down with the way the security works to get through. It's a lot quicker than what we have. People physically, like, search each bag, unzip each pocket. It's kind of a slow process. So in that aspect, that part does take a little while. And then you've got to get on the tram that will take you to the actual spot where you can kind of pick which park you're going into. So I guess it is a little bit of a process. What I like to do sometimes if the security lines are long at the trams is I'll just walk over there. it's kind of through a parking lot, and it kind of spits you out by Disneyland Hotel and Downtown Disney and go in that way.
That's where my friend used to park. Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
The security lines tend to be a lot shorter over there. It's just, you have to walk a lot more.
Interesting.
Now that's a security where the hotels use, right? So if you stay, because we stayed at Grand Californian, and if we would walk out, and then to the right there would be the security. So that's probably the same one you're talking about, right?
No, there's a couple different ones, but what's interesting is I know what you're talking about because you're already in Downtown Disney.
Correct.
Then you have to go through the security to get into Grand Californian, which is crazy. Is you can just go straight into Disneyland Hotel. There's no security through there, which is weird to me now thinking about the fact that there is to get into the Grand Californian. But this security I'm talking about is like right, it basically allows you to get into Downtown Disney.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So you have to get, correct me if I'm wrong, you'd have to go through security to get into Downtown Disney and then go through security again to get into a park?
Yeah. No, not to get into the park, but to get into the Grand Californian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, yeah. There's a separate security for the hotel to get, because the hotel is like literally,
right?
Yeah, literally there. So it's not, but that was a pretty quick security, but
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about. But again, I have to say, Evan, in my experience, there were so there's like three entryways. Whereas in like, for example, Magic Kingdom, there's really only one. But it's a larger one. So
you've got options.
Yeah, you got options. If you know what you're doing, you could probably figure out a way to get one of the three will have a lower crowd than the others.
And then what you can do too is if you don't want to walk all the way through Downtown Disney to get to the entrance to Disneyland, you can take the monorail too.
Yes, and there's another checkpoint at the end of the before the monorail, right?
They've got to scan your ticket to make sure that's your starting park.
So Evan, the monorail, the biggest thing about the monorail in Disneyland is the monorail actually is actually a real transportation thing. It gets you to the park. It doesn't like just, drive around. It takes you right into the park as opposed to in front of the park.
Interesting. Okay, good. Yeah. Us nerds like this kind of stuff. It's so cool. Cause that's what people were saying, especially the security comment, Christy, was that people, Disneyland, a security guard from Disneyland actually had told this person that they couldn't really adopt the same security. They'd have to totally redo their entire system to do what Walt Disney World does. That they search every pocket of every bag. They just search it differently. And if I'm at Epcot, Hollywood, or Animal, then I just park my car. I walk, which, depending on where you walk in those three parks, it can be a little bit of a long walk. But then if I don't have a stroller or wheelchair, I just walk right through. If I'm okay, I walk right up, get into the park. I'm good, But it's a little bit different if you're a resident or if you're staying somewhere else to get into Disneyland.
Yep. And, now having gone so many times, you kind of have what you're going to pack and take and what you're going to put in your bag that you're taking. And so I kind of try to expedite things, and I'll unzip my backpack before I get up to the attendant or unzip all the pockets to make it a little bit quicker. You kind of develop a method to the madness, I guess.
Now, can you take food like a sandwich or chips? Yep. Okay. So that's the same as Disney World, which is good.
Yep. And you can take water bottles. So I typically will take, a water bottle full of water and take that in, because there's places that you can refill them. So that saves on having to spend, $9 on a water inside the park.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay. That was my topic to hijack, but
no, so Christy, that was a good, these are good things.
I like thinking about that, because, we go all the time to Disney World, and that one day when we go to Disneyland, it's going to be a shock to me because I'm going to be used to doing it the world way.
Well, you're going to see, and you're going to, the biggest shock you're going to see, Evan, is the rides are closer together. They're not exactly in the same place as, so like navigation is different. It's kind of the same, but not. So then you get confused. That was the one, that was the hardest thing for me. It took me a couple times to go, but like the third day, I was down pat. I knew it. But it was hard.
Only thing that's exactly the same is the Star Wars area. It's the same exact layout. The bathrooms are in the same spot. Everything's the same.
Oh, that's interesting. But yeah. The color is a little different from what I hear.
Is it?
The coloring is different because of the sun, the difference in sun.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah, that's the only difference between the two, which is funny. Okay, so tell us, like, so now let's talk about it. So what things did you do that were new? What things did you experience? We want to hear those kind of things. That's the stuff we love.
Well, one thing going back to what we were just talking about the security and getting into the parks that they are doing, they haven't opened it yet, but they're changing the way that you'll now enter into the park. So I think they're sort of adopting somewhat of a similar method to what's at Disney World, where if you've got the Magic Band, you can now scan. Right now, people, if you have a Magic Band, they have to scan you on their phone. So it looks like they're now putting in new turnstiles, I guess you could call them, in the entrance of California Adventure. And what I've read is that later into the year, they're going to be doing the same at Disneyland. So I'm not sure when they'll be open and functional, but they're starting.
That's good.
So how do you get into the park right now?
If you don't have a Magic Band, you've got to open up the app and they scan your ticket from the app, and then they take a picture of you. If you've got a Magic Band, they take their phone that they've got and they scan your Magic Band that way. So it's a little slower.
Yeah, I was about to say, so that requires a person to do it all.
Yep.
Interesting.
So hopefully, I'm not exactly sure how this new way will work, but I'm hoping that it'll expedite the process of when new ticket holders come into the park and have to get their picture taken. It's not such a cumbersome process, because that can take a long time.
Yeah, especially like the picture taken is kind of crazy because, you know, okay, there's a fingerprint.
Yeah.
I know. But a picture, so, you know, what if, you know, you're on America's Next or Most Wanted or something, and also they're like, oh, there he is. I'm looking for this guy. I don't think they share those pictures with anybody. I would hope not.
I don't think so. I think it just remains attached to your ticket and your profile, because I know I've seen, you know, I have the pass where my parking is included in it. And I believe when they scan your ticket there, when you come into the park or when you're using your magic key for a discount in a store, I think it pops up your picture so that they ensure somebody's not using your pass.
That's interesting to me. You know, I'm nice. Curious what shows and what doesn't at World. I think about that sometimes because I know us with annual passes, they take your picture when you get your annual pass, you know, and then they never take our picture. You know, I mean, now what is hidden that takes our picture is a whole other story possibly. But I mean, like a cast member is never taking a guest's photo, you know, but yeah. I'm curious because I know when you do Lightning Lanes, because you can see their screens, you know, they're standing right there. It just pops up your name and then a little bit of info below it. And then it does like a green check on the screen and they can either hit accept, as in like if you're early, too early, they can hit accept and go ahead and grant you access, or like clear. But it doesn't show your picture when you're doing Lightning Lane. So I am curious. I've never seen like a cast member ring up something on a register to get a discount and it show your picture. So that's the kind of cool stuff that, you know, I think about when I can't go to sleep at night.
And there's a not friend, I know you're laughing right now, a not friend, like so an ex-friend that Evan and I have, that that picture would have been very helpful if that was available. So but we could talk about that at another time. Anyway, so, okay, that's cool. I think that's really cool that they're doing that. That's great. So what... So where'd you? So you went six times. You probably went back and forth to different parks.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the highlights.
Yeah. And I did them a couple different ways too. So one of the times I went, it was a solo trip. I went on Super Bowl actually because I had nothing else to do. The park was actually pretty busy. I wasn't there.
Busy on the Super Bowl day?
You know what? I think the secret has gotten out because in the past I've gone on Super Bowl and it wasn't that busy, okay. But this year it was. So I wasn't there too long. I kind of, you know, I started out at they added those new DVC towers at Disneyland Hotel, and there's a new outside pool bar that I've been going to.
How is it?
It's great. The bartender that works there, he also worked at works at Trader Sam's as well. So I go to visit him. And so I had a drink there and then went into the parks and I kind of just walked around. Honestly, I'm like, okay, I don't want to wait in line for rides by myself. So I just walked around. So it was kind of uneventful that time. But then, you know, I got to play tourist a little bit because my sister and her boyfriend came. So we did both parks and we did pretty much every single ride in California Adventure. We kind of took our time a little bit, took them to the Magic Key Lounge to do lunch.
And what's the Magic Key Lounge? Wait, I don't think I've been there.
I don't know what the name of it used to be. It is, you know, like the Trattoria area where
there's a restaurant.
It's above there. So it used to be something else, but now they've kind of turned it into a Magic Key exclusive restaurant. So you've got to either have a key or be with somebody that has a key to go into it. So
that's pretty cool.
That's kind of, I let them decide where do you want to go. And they picked there just because, you know, they said we wouldn't be able to get in there unless we were with you. So might as well try it out. And then I also took them to Oga's Cantina, which is always
okay. Well, I love Oga's. Yeah.
Yep. So, and then we didn't really get to do a ton of stuff over on the Disneyland side. So they decided they were going to buy another ticket and we went back a couple days later and it happened to be pouring down rain that day.
Oh, okay.
It was wet and a little bit miserable at points, but you know, the crowds weren't crazy. So we got to ride everything they wanted to ride at Disneyland and we were kind of out of there at a decent time because we had done everything they wanted to do. And then the following weekend, I went back again with those friends that had the 3-day pass. And when we do that, we typically will go Saturday and Sunday and we'll stay the night down there on Saturday just to make it easier. We're not driving back and forth. That's silly 2 days in a row. So we just get one of the hotels outside of the park, just like one of the Hiltons or something like that, and kind of do that. And then their son, he didn't get to use his third day, so I took him back. Him and I went, and that's when I got to try some of the food from the Food and Wine Festival, which was both of the things I tried were amazing, and I wish they were there forever.
Now, do they have the Food and Wine in both parks, or
no? It's just in California Adventure.
Just in California. And where is it located? What part of the park is that in?
It is kind of all over the place. They set up these different booths and I did not buy this. You can purchase the food individually or you can buy kind of like a pass and it has however many credits on it and you can use those towards different things that are offered at the festival. I didn't do that because I didn't know the next time I was going to be back to use all of those credits. So I just bought the stuff I tried individually. But I did a butterscotch. What the heck was it now? I can't remember. It was a butterscotch churro. And it was amazing. A butterscotch banana churro.
Oh, wow.
Basically, they roll the churro in a banana sugar. And then there's like almost like a glaze on it, like a vanilla glaze. And then they do the butterscotch chips and they put the those dried bananas on it. But because the churros are hot, it melts the butterscotch chips into like a sauce on top of it.
Oh, my God. I love butterscotch. I'm a big butterscotch fan. Oh, wow. Me too.
Yeah. So that was awesome. And then I also tried the loaded pastrami fries, which I wish you would keep those forever.
Lotus pastrami fries. Oh, wow.
They're like crinkle cut fries. And so the fries were cooked perfectly to where they weren't soggy. They were crunchy. And then they put diced pickles and pastrami, slices of pastrami, which I was kind of nervous about if the pastrami was going to be good quality. It was awesome. Smoked, really good. And then they drizzle almost like a Chipotle style a Thousand Island over top of everything. And I think there was some cheese sauce in it too.
Wow.
Mm. It was amazing.
Okay, I need that too. Both of these things so far I want right now, but I can't get them, but I want them.
Yeah, they were very, very good. There's still a couple things I want to try. One is the Chili Reno Empanada, and they've had that a couple years in a row, but it's amazing. It's basically an empanada that's with cheese and chilies inside, and they put some sort of a sauce over top of it. But they're just solid. They're really good. No wonder they bring it back every year.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. We were talking about this. When I was at the Festival of the Arts, the empanada stand, it was like 90 minutes to get an empanada. Now, were there any lines like that food-wise to get anything crazy like that, or were they did the lines move pretty quickly?
No, the lines for food and wine are always long. But what they have instituted, and I think they just started doing it last year, is you can pre-order food from booths. So let's say you go to the booth with the empanada and you know you want the empanada from there and you want, you know, something else from another booth, you can pre-order those items. So then you can kind of skip the line per se and just get that item. So it kind of speeds things up, which is why I think they did it that way, so that you're not waiting in a waiting through every single line for every single booth.
That's pretty good. It's very cool. How many different booths do you think they have?
Probably maybe close to like 8 or 9.
Now, are they themed? So like in the Epcot Food and Wine, they're themed by country. Like, so there's extra countries.
Yeah.
They've themed them.
I know there's one that's like a garlic booth. There's one that is more the one with the empanada. It's more geared toward like spicy type food. And then you'll have some of the restaurants as well that'll have seasonal items. So for example, those pastrami fries that I got, those were actually from Smoke Jumper Grill. So that's not even food.
So the restaurants get involved with the festival too. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. And then typically not all of them do, but typically a lot of them will have like one seasonal item. I know in the past Lamplight, they have those amazing donuts that you can get, and they tend to do like a seasonal donut for the Food and Wine Festival.
I like that. That's cool. That's a way to add some value. Like, so you have booths and you have also the restaurants that have seasonal things, which I like to see that. That's pretty cool.
And that's one thing that they do really well. And I think I talked about this last time I was on at Disneyland, is they do a lot of seasonal foods, whether it's, you know, a part of one of these festivals where they've got the booths, but they'll just do, you know, seasonal churros or, you know, seasonal things at the restaurant. So I like that they switch it up in that aspect.
Yeah. Well, I have to say the churros in Disneyland are out of this world compared to any other churros I've ever had. Very similar to the corn dogs. I think the corn dogs, like they're worth trying. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't normally get corn dogs, but when I go there, they're the best I've ever had.
Yeah,
which is very interesting. Like Evan, those are the things like I want you to try those, because you don't, people say it, and you know, I heard people say like, oh, you have to try the churros. I'm like, well, it's a churro. What does it? Then you go there and you're like, whoa, this is a churro, you know? And again, I know, I think it was Sherry, our friend Sherry. She said the same thing. She said, the corn dogs are, she said, I'll never get a corn dog, but when I go there, they're amazing. And yep. I think that's exactly, they're just phenomenal. And which is really cool. That, you know, the foodie aspect of Disneyland is, you know, people say it, and you know, as much as we are foodies, and we definitely, you know, believe me, some of my favorite parts of any trip has always been the food, and this is even like one step more, which is great to hear. I'm glad to hear, because that would be a good time. I have to plan that as the next trip, because I got to come out soon, so it's just a matter of when.
I think too, with food, people always get not worried. Worried is not the right word, but you know, you don't really expect theme park food to be that great. And I think what Disney has done is, you know, kind of created that expectation, like, okay, we're going to bring this to a new level and this is actually going to be really good quality and we're going to get creative with these things. And I think that's cool because most theme parks you go to, you don't see that. It's just your basic, you know, hot dog, chicken tenders.
Yeah. Fries. Soggy fries. Like you said, like crinkle cut fries are way to go. And I'm like, that's even better. Like, that's my kind of fry. I like my crinkle cuts. So that was another good thing to hear. That's pretty awesome. Now, how about rides and stuff? How were there, are there any new rides that you went on or anything, is anything closed that's normally opened?
Nothing new, but yeah, there's a couple closures. I'm sad. Haunted Mansion's closed right now. I don't know when it's supposed to open back up. I think later this year, but they've essentially closed it down because they are revamping the queue. Q-U-E-U-E.
Okay, there you go. At least you got it there. Okay, now I still like you. That's good.
They're revamping the queue in between. I don't know what they're going to exactly do to it, but they're also enhancing the area in between Haunted Mansion and where they've put the Tiana's restaurant. And I think they're creating more seating and stuff, probably to make it a little more cohesive, more, you know, that New Orleans Square connecting those kind of two areas. And then they're also adding a store at the exit of Haunted Mansion. So that's what they're doing there.
A Haunted Mansion store?
Yeah, which I'm really excited about.
That's really cool. Now, here's my question. Have they gotten rid of a restaurant in New Orleans Square, or they've just added the Tiana's restaurant?
I don't remember what it used to be. It was a different restaurant, and they just basically rethemed it to Tiana's restaurant. And the food there is really good as well. They've got, you know, gumbo and the traditional New Orleans food, and it's really good.
I'm glad. Okay. No, yeah, I have found, yeah, again, that whatever there was a restaurant in New Orleans Square that we went to that had, obviously it had beignets, but it also had a Monte Cristo.
Yeah, which was one they closed down, I think.
Oh, did they get rid of the Monte Cristo?
I don't know.
Hope not. Oh, it was so good. Okay.
Sorry. the food at Tiana's is good. Like I said, they've got gumbo. They've got like the muffaletta sandwich. They've got a lot of the classic New Orleans stuff. And I really like that they're, because now, you know, obviously Splash Mountain is closed because they're retheming it into Tiana's Bayou Adventure. I like that because all those areas are so close to each other that it's creating the cohesiveness and making it feel less disjointed, I guess.
Well, yeah. See, that they were able to do that there. See where it is in Walt Disney World is it's still disjointed because that's not a New Orleans Square. You have a New Orleans Square, which is really cool. And that's where Club 33 is too, right? Isn't it in New Orleans Square?
It is, yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's on my bucket list. One day I'll make it there.
Yeah, I think it's on all our bucket lists. It's just a matter of finding that friend of ours, which I don't even have one, but I need a friend who has those, who can invite me.
Me too.
Yeah, same.
Good.
I was just going to ask a quick question. You were talking about driving and going and staying local. How far do you live from there?
I live about 30 miles from Disneyland, so it's not too far. But, you know, if you're staying at the park, if you're going 2 days in a row, you're staying at the park till midnight, till it closes, and then you want to turn around and get there pretty early the next day, it's a lot more convenient to just stay down there.
Of course. And are they that expensive? The hotels are not those friendly neighborhood hotels there. They're not that expensive, right?
No, they're not terrible. And if you're splitting it with a group of people, it's even cheaper.
Yeah. And did you park your car there and walk from the hotel?
No. So the hotel that we stayed at, there's like a bus, like a public transportation bus, that takes you, you can buy like a day ticket for it. I think it's like $6 or $7. It's not expensive. And it stops at some of the other hotels or stops along the way. And then it drops you right off at the park.
Oh, okay.
So it's convenient. And then at the end of the night, you just hop back on and it takes you back to the hotel. So the first day that we went, we took that shuttle. And the second day, which was Sunday, we drove and parked there because we knew we were leaving and going back home right after the park. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. What do they charge you to park?
It's $30, but with my pass, it's included. So free.
Okay. It's the same at World now. It's 30.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Did you do Matterhorn with?
I did. I rode.
Have they fixed those cars yet? Are they still bumpy?
It's still terrible. my sister really wanted to go on that because she wanted to see the Yeti animatronic.
Yeah, yeah.
And right. Then when she got off of it, I think she was regretting that she went on it because it was so bumpy.
They got to do something with that. They got to fix. There's got to be a way you could fix that.
You would think. It's bad.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could go again. My back, I've never in my life had back problems until I went on that ride.
Yeah.
It was crazy. That's now, how about, so did you guys do Rise of the Resistance?
We did it. It, you know, that ride, it's always, when you see it go down to like 55 minute wait, you're like, get in line. And it, the queue moves pretty quickly. I feel like it's a lot to look at in the queue too. So it seems like it moves pretty quick, pretty fast. And then I know they do count the two pre-show rooms into that wait time, but you know, to me that seems like part of the ride. So
it is. Yeah.
It's almost like you cut that time off of the wait time.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That they count the pre-shows. I would think that they would not. Huh?
Yeah. Yep, because the reason I found that out is I want to say one time I was in line and there was somebody that had, you know, the little red thing that they give you to measure the time, and they didn't send it off to the cast member until right before you they put you into the holding cells.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's when I was like, okay, they're including the pre-shows in this wait time.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
I would not.
Well, it does seem to go faster than you really think. Like if it says something, it doesn't. Like yeah, I once I'm in there, once I get in that first room, to me, I'm on the ride. That's kind of how I feel.
Yep. And a lot of the times, if I'm with a group like that, we'll play Heads Up or you know one of those games in line just to kind of help pass time too.
Yeah. Now, did you see any Star Wars characters when you were walking around when you were there? Mandalorian or anything like that?
You know, I've never seen the Mandalorian and I've always wanted to when they brought it, that character in. I've never run into it. The only characters I've ever seen in that area are the Stormtroopers, Kylo Ren, and Rey, and Chewbacca. I've never seen any of the newer ones.
Yeah, that's how it is at World. Now, I know that Ahsoka is coming to Disneyland. I don't know if it's already happened or if it's April. I can't remember.
I know Ahsoka came. They brought her in last year, but maybe they're bringing her. They're going to probably bring a lot of those characters back because we're kind of coming up on where they're doing all those Star Wars events.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I would hope. Yeah, I mean, two times I did not see the Mandalorian. I really wanted to see him. I have not seen him yet. I keep missing him. And then I talk to somebody like, oh, did you see the Mandalorian? I go, what? And I run over and he's gone. You know, I'm dying to see him. And that's one of my bucket list things to do.
I also haven't seen, I know they added Baymax over in the San Francisco area. And I have not seen Baymax in person yet either.
Oh, I love Baymax. I've taken a lot of pictures with Baymax when he was in Epcot, but he's not in Epcot anymore. So, you definitely have to go see. So it's not a meet and greet. It's just he just comes out.
It's a meet and greet. I just need to learn when the schedule is that he comes out.
Well, that's a very awkward meet and greet because you know, he's so big. It's like really hard to like go put your arm around him because he's gigantic and he can barely move too. It's great though. It's an amazing, they do a good job. They do a good job with the background, at least the one at Epcot, the background was pretty cool. So I'm glad that he's back. I didn't want to lose that chance to go take another picture with him if I could.
Yeah. They've got him and they have, Hero that comes out too, but
they didn't have that.
I've got to look at the schedule and make it over there one of these times.
Now, did you guys take any pictures with any characters?
We didn't.
Oh.
No.
Not even any of the people you brought? They didn't want to go take pictures? Okay.
No, which I was shocked because my sister's a huge Marvel fan, so she was really excited to see Avengers Campus. And there were, I think Iron Man was out, and I was like, do you want to take a picture with him? And she's like, no, but... we were going to watch the Spider-Man show as well, but I think it was too windy, so they couldn't have the animatronic.
Oh, yeah, they're right. They couldn't because it would blow all over. I could see it go smashing into the wall or something. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
They just did like a B-roll show and it wasn't that great. I was like, oh man, I really wanted her to see that animatronic, fly through the air, but it didn't happen. And then, like I said, the second day that we went back, it was raining. So, and we only went to Disneyland that day. So she missed it.
Yeah, no, I that's another one I got to see. I got to get out there and see these things. It's bothering me. So, with the characters in the Marvel characters, do they have meet and greets or is it just they walk around?
Both. There is a spot where they'll bring like a meet and greet spot where they'll bring different characters out. And then also up on the top, kind of where the Quinjet is, they'll have different characters up there. They'll have some that are walking through the area as well. And then they do a bunch of like shows throughout that too. Like they'll have the ladies from Black Panther come out and do like a whole show.
Really?
A mix of characters walking around and meet and greet.
See, that's cool. That's all stuff that they don't have on this coast. Oh man, that's good stuff.
I think there's like a Doctor Strange show as well that they do.
I've seen videos of that. That looks so cool. I mean, all this looks so cool to me. I mean, I can't wait to get out there. I'm really tempted though, and this is what I've been going through in my head, is when I finally get a chance to go out there, I'm really tempted to do the Adventures by Disney, the SoCal one, which is where you can go and see the Walt Disney Studios, get the tour, do all that stuff. Because I don't see me going out there many times in my life. So I'm like, if I'm going to go, I feel like I need to do what I want to do when I go. So... you know, I don't know. We'll see. But I would love to go and, you know, tour the studios, get to actually see that stuff.
It would
be just awesome.
I have never done that. And I've always wanted to do like a studio tour. I know like a big one that people do is like Warner Brothers tour.
I did that.
Yeah. So I want to do one of those. And it's silly that I haven't because I'm,
you're so right there. Like, no, they're pretty expensive. The Warner Brothers one was really cool. I have to say, I my family wanted to go to that, and I was like, I don't know if I want to go to that because we had done the tour of the Stars homes. Like that was my wife wanted to go. She goes, I want to go on the. I'm like, I don't really want to do that, but okay. And it was such a bummer. Like we saw, you know, oh, here's Bill Murray washing his car, but we couldn't even see him. You know, it was like barely see him. We saw the water. It was just terrible. It was a total waste of money. So then they wanted to do that. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be like that. It was amazing. We had, we got to see Big Bang Theory being taped. Like to me, that was one of the greatest days. It was great. You know, we were on a Disney trip, but we did other things too. Mm-hmm. I loved that. I highly recommend the Warner Brothers tour. That was terrific.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that. And now I'm going to have to try to figure out how to go to this Disney tour too.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a D23 Gold member, they do them almost monthly. So it's almost worth to sign up for that. It's like $100 and something for the year. And you always get some sort of commemorative something, you know, that they'll mail to you. But I do notice on the D23 app that they'll do studio tours. So that's one way to do it, but you never know when they're going to do it or what the dates are going to be. So that's a problem, but otherwise that would be one way to do it.
Yeah. And I want to do the museum too. I want to do the Walt Disney Museum, which is closer to San Francisco though, I think. Right.
Yeah, I think so.
I want to go do that. That's on my list too of things. It's just a matter of, again, making the trip and doing the trip and making the plans and getting it organized. How about, is there anything that you thought was, you know, different, like very different? What were your, like the people that you brought, were there anything that they were, they had never seen before that they had seen for the first time?
All of it. They had never, yeah. Neither my sister or her boyfriend had been to Disneyland or California Adventure. So all of it was
they were first timers.
Yeah, which was cool. There were a couple, you know, like rides. I was like, don't look up, you know, the ride POV before. And they did, which so they kind of knew what was going to happen. Because it's always fun to go on that with people that don't know that there's a pop.
Yeah, right.
So, but, you know, I think it was, they had looked it up, a lot of the stuff up, and it was kind of cool to a point too, because then they knew, okay, this is what we want to do. These are the things, you know, we want to get a churro. We want to do this. We want to ride this. So it was cool though, to go with them because they had never been there. And my sister said, she's like, I like that, you know, where everything is and what's going on here because I don't have to think about it. And I was like, that's a really nice compliment.
Did they like Cars Land?
Yeah, I think they did. It's so cool. It's so immersive. Honestly, I love out of all the lands there are.
It is. It's my favorite. It's I like, you know, people say, what, you like that better than Galaxy's Edge? Yes, I do. It's just something about it, especially when you're walking up, like when you pass the road sign and you start walking up, you're like, oh, am I in the movie? This is crazy. Yeah. It's just so, so phenomenal.
It literally feels like you stepped right into the screen of the movie.
Yeah. I love that. That's great. This is great. I mean, I love the fact that that you're giving us all this information, and we have to do more Disneyland reporting. So we got to get more things. Are there any festivals coming up that you know about?
Well, like I said, the Food and Wine Festival's going on right now, and it goes through the 22nd of April. So that's got another month left of it. And then I don't know. I think they're doing something for Pixar, like a Pixar festival type thing. But I don't know if there will be special foods for that or not, or if it's just they're bringing different characters out.
That's another cool thing. Pixar, a bunch of Pixar characters. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I like when they bring unique. You know, to me, the coolest thing about any of these parks is the days that they bring unique stuff. And I know for that. What was it? Jollywood Nights. They was that in Magic Kingdom or was it? No, that was in Hollywood Studios. Yeah. They brought a lot of unique characters out that hadn't been out for a while. And people, I saw people, you know, pictures with characters I haven't seen in years. I'm like, oh, I want to see that. Like, that's the stuff. Like, to me, I like to go say, like, when I see the characters, I'm going to go track them down, especially the unique ones. Like, I've been saying, I think we get too much Mickey. You know, Mickey's all over the place. We get too much Mickey now. I think that's a problem. We need to get back to the unique characters. Now, they don't do Brother Bear anymore in that one restaurant, do they? In Storytellers, right? I don't think they do anymore.
I don't think so. I honestly think they've switched it to, you know, the Fab Five, like Mickey, Minnie, Pluto.
I love that they did that because, you know, Brother Bear is so very popular there. Which it's not like around, I don't know, hardly anybody has, you know, on the East Coast, you never even hear about it. Mm-hmm. But Brother Bear was super important, the River Rapids has the giant bear mountain, right?
Yeah.
So it's really popular there. So it was so cool to see all the bears from Brother Bear in the restaurant. And it was just, you eating dinner, and it's a nice restaurant. Storytellers is a good restaurant, and you're in there and like, what? I can't believe that they're here. That was really cool to me. And that's the stuff, the unique stuff is what to me drives that stuff. Now the oversaturation of the Fab Five or the Fab Four, it gets to be a pain because it's all you ever see. Like, oh, what do you have a picture with? Oh, Mickey. I got Mickey. I went to dinner. I got Mickey. And then after that, you're like, okay, why don't you see Baymax at dinner? Why don't you see Robin Hood, you know, and the Friar Tuck and like all those kind of, that would be cool. And because you know what that does? That opens up kids to look at, they're like, who is that? And then maybe let me go watch that. You know, because I think the young kids say they don't watch some of these older cartoons that still stand up if you watch them, you know, especially Robin Hood does, because Robin Hood is just an older story anyway. I would wish the kids to get to see that because, you know, yes, my kids did because I would like, you know, try to push them to watch it. But, you know, a lot of kids, they don't see that stuff nowadays. They're always jumping on something else. But I just think there's an oversaturation of Mickey right now. And, you know, whether you agree with me or not, but it's getting to be a little bit, I don't know. I'm that's annoying me. Not as much as the Q thing, but it does annoy me a little
bit. With you. I do. I think they should bring out other characters. You know, I'm trying to think of some of the ones I saw the last couple times I went. They had Woody out, which was kind of cool. I don't think I had seen him out in a while. They had Mike Wazowski and Sully out, which was, I had never seen them out. That was kind of cool. And then I had never seen Geppetto. He was out.
Geppetto was out? Oh, see?
Captain Hook was out. I hadn't seen him in a while.
Well, the villains, too. You don't see that many villains sometimes. Every once in a while, like, you know, I know in the trip before last, Cruella de Vil was out on Main Street. And I was shocked, right? And of course, yeah. the line was phenomenal, but it was great to see her
a couple times.
Yeah, so the villains are also always a good draw. You know, now little kids get scared, but most of them are not that scary. Most of them are not that bad. They don't have an Ursula that comes out, but I know the Ursula parade used to scare the heck out of my kids. The parade, the Ursula on the float. God, my kids would be so scared. Yeah, they couldn't. They would cry right away. They didn't like her.
They have the parade that they're doing right now. They've got like Moana, and they've got like the Frozen characters. They've got like Sleeping Beauty, Tiana, and Naveen. So there's some, you know, some of that. But yeah, I wish you'd see more of them walking around.
Yeah, that's how Disneyland used to be. Like the Disneyland, like last time I was there, there was characters galore. Now I think there still are more there than there are in Magic Kingdom, especially walking around. But I think we got to get back to that point. Now again, from what I hear, there's like a shortage of cast members to do that.
That could be.
I would hope that there'd be more of them, but I want to see more. I think the more characters, the better, because what it does is it reduces the lines. If you have 20 characters go out, there's going to be 20, you know, decent lines. You have three come out, there's three long lines. And if you could figure out a way, Hollywood Studios used to do that too. They used to, for some reason, out when they used to have the big hat, once a day there would be like 12 characters out there. No joke, it would be 12 characters, and they were all short lines. So you could knock them all off, go from one to another. And I think that's the approach to make it work. You know, especially even the people in the suits, it's got to get hot. After a while, sitting there, there's a line of, you know, 80 people to take a picture with Geppetto. Poor Geppetto's after a while is getting pretty sweaty and trying to be nice and take pictures. Then he has to take a break. And then they say, okay, well, hold on. Geppetto is going to take a break. And then he leaves and the people in the line get all upset because they're waiting. And then he comes back after he's either taking a shower or they switch people. And then he comes back and they start over again. There's got to be a better way to make that easier for everybody. And I think by getting more characters is the way to do that. But it's, again, and you know, some characters are going to be more popular than others, but.
Well, it's interesting too, because I was thinking about it the other day. You know, my parents took me to Disney World as a kid because, you know, I'm from Michigan. So we went to Florida for spring break and we would go to Disney. And I remember having, you know, the little book where you'd walk around and get the autographs from the characters and it would be full. But the last time I was there, I was literally thinking, like, who are they getting signatures from now? It's just like Donald, Mickey, Goofy, Minnie. Like, who else is out?
That's the truth. And they're not. And some of them can't hold the pens anymore. Well, you know, I remember, this is so funny because my kids used to do that, right? So they used to try to get all the unique ones. Like we got Captain Hook, and they were scared to death to get Captain Hooks, but he did sign. And we did a lot of those. And one year I didn't think, and I brought a Sharpie, right? And I didn't know. And they don't let you do Sharpies because it could get on their costumes or whatever, right? Yes. So my kids are standing in line and they go, hey, do you have a pen? And then I give them the Sharpie and they're like, oh, I can't use this. And I'm like, oh no, my kids start crying. And luckily somebody else had a pen and they gave it to me. But it's hilarious, that stuff. But those books we must have like, I don't know. For my twins, they each had one every year, and we have like 7 years worth of them. What do we just do with them, right? But we have those autographs. And my niece used to work as a cast member. She told me that they used to have to take a class to learn how to do all the signatures, because every once in a while they had to fill out the books. They would fill out books for people that lost their books or something, and they all had to learn how to fill out, you know, do the actual signatures. There are definite signatures for each character. There's like a class that you go to.
That's
to
cool.
Learn how to do the, yeah.
I kind of want to go to that class just to learn that.
Yeah. Well, me too. But it is cool when you go look. If you look at them, like, if you know, depending on, obviously, you're going to go to see. You could see 12 different Mulans, but if you look at their signature, it always matches. You know, the faces look different.
It doesn't make sense because you don't want a kid to say like, hey, you know, Mulan signed my book this way today and signed it this way. What's going on?
Well, this is the proof. One year, we went to Hollywood Studio. We went to Animal Kingdom. Then we park hopped to Hollywood Studios. We saw Pocahontas three times. We saw Pocahontas. She used to have her own little section in Animal Kingdom. So we went there. My daughter's got a picture and a signature. Went to Hollywood Studios. They had a meet and greet. And we stood in line to get Pocahontas's, again, another picture where they looked completely different face-wise. Signature was exact. And then later on in the day, we got caught in a rainstorm and we went in this hallway and three of the princesses were there. So Pocahontas and Mulan and somebody else were there, you know, because they must have ran out of the rain too. And my daughter's got a picture and a signature with them too. And it was a different so the third different Pocahontas we saw that day and the same signature. So it was 98% exactly the same. So they had to take a class, you know, it makes sense. After I heard it made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, they're spot on with that signature, even though they don't look alike. And my kids weren't tricked. They're like, you know, those Pocahontas looked a little bit different. I actually have pictures of all three of them from that day. It's pretty funny.
We all have the same signature.
Same signature.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I mean, that makes sense.
So yeah, Christy, I think that's what we have to do is to try to find where that class is so we can get you to sign up for that.
Yeah. I would love to do that. Add it to my resume.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. So as we kind of wrap up here, what are any last few things you want to mention from West Coast News Reporter Christy? I like that title, Brian.
Yes.
I like it too. It sounds so official.
Yeah. That goes on your resume. Yes,
like
definitely. That.
Yeah.
I mean, I am just looking. I'm actually going to go back probably in a week or so and try some more food. So I'm just really looking forward to trying more food. And other than that, I think kind of touched on everything new that's going on. And hopefully some of those closed down things will open before I talk to you the next time and I can report on that.
Okay, good. Good. We want to hear. Yeah, no, excellent. Yeah, check out for new souvenirs too. Are there any new popcorn buckets out around there?
Yeah, there are actually. I saw today on a Instagram profile that I follow, they're coming out with a bunch of different new Star Wars ones. There's like a Jabba the Hutt one.
I saw that.
There's
yes.
like the Stormtrooper helmet. There's a couple different ones that look really cool that are coming out.
Ooh. Oh, look at that. That's dangerous. Those are dangerous.
And they
are so dangerous.
Another cool one that I saw was the Pizza Planet truck from Toy Story.
What? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Look at this. I got to go look at these things and see. Wow. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It still can't touch. I think Tokyo Disney does the best popcorn buckets.
No, what do they have? Oh, yeah. No, they do. Yes, they do. You're right. I see them. They're like phenomenal. Yeah. They're just so, yeah, they're crazy and they're beyond anything that we get over here. But the thing is, if we go, you know, I was there, but it was years ago. But if you go up, fly over there, then you got to figure out a way to get them home.
Yeah.
That's the only problem. The biggest thing, those, I had the Figment one last trip. I had to bring it on the plane. You know, I had no place to store it.
Yeah.
So I'm like walking around with this stupid.
For it. Have it sit next to you.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay. Hey, Christy, I really appreciate, I think we really appreciate you coming on. Obviously, we'll get you back on here again, but thank you so much for taking the time to sit with us and listen to us banter about this stuff with you. But we love to hear about what's going on in Disneyland.
No, it's always a good time. I appreciate you having me back and can't wait to come back again.
Absolutely. Yep. Thanks a lot, Christy. I appreciate it. And maybe you can, when you go back in a couple of weeks, you can post your food picks in our Facebook group, which is A Spoonful of Podcast Spoony Nation. So, Spoonies, if you have questions about Disneyland, you can go post them there. Maybe Christy can answer, or others who are attendees of Disneyland, because we are a heavy Disney World podcast, but we want to definitely do more coverage on the West Coast. So that's some good stuff there. We're also on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us info@aspoonfulofpodcast.com. Lastly, please don't forget to rate and review our show wherever you may listen, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, you name it, we are there. So without further ado, broadcasting from the backside of water, until next time, we'll see you then.
Take care, everybody.
Bye. Rising after the air, up ahead in the distance,
I saw a shimmering light. Thank you for listening to A Spoonful of Podcast. You can find show notes, ways to follow us on social media, and all episodes on aspoonfulofpodcast.com. Now that you've experienced the magic, it's time for the most dangerous part of our podcast, the return to civilization.
Saw a shimmering light. My head grew heavy and my sight grew dim.